Hey, good day, everyone. I'm Rob Sparrow for the Viral Volley Podcast. I'm here with USC two-time national champion, AVP and FIVB professional athlete, Kelly Clays, my OC buddy who now resides in the LA County. She has crossed the orange curtain and entered the South Bay bubble. So, Kelly, thank you for coming on today. I appreciate you coming on today because I've always, you know, obviously met you through Sarah Hughes and followed your career all through college. But even just in Orange County High School, I'm like, who is this? Kelly Clay. She's kind of making a big name for herself. So I'm going to ease us into our interview and just ask you the most common question. But how did you get into playing volleyball?
Here we go. I started playing indoor volleyball at 11. Before that, I was playing basketball, softball, and a little bit of track. And fell in love with indoor volleyball. I was setting through high school and club and loved every little bit of it. I still miss playing indoor, and I try to go out and play when I can. I've always been very attracted to just sports and competition in general. And volleyball somehow came easier than every other sport, and other sports came fairly easy as well. I thank God every day for giving me the gift of athleticism. I love every little bit of it. It's been such a blast.
Well, it's funny to hear you say that you set, because one of the things that caught my eye is you set a school record for kills in a match as an opposite hitter. Did you run a 6-2 and get 31 kills? I mean, what happened there?
Throughout my high school career, we kind of went back and forth from running a 5-1 and a 6-2, just depending on the rotation of my passers. If we had a good lineup of passers, I'd stay, and I was playing front row. I'd continue setting, and I was given all the freedom in the world to dump, I got to a point where I'd fake to option, and I was back row, and girls would jump with me. I'm like, I just feel like if you come in hard enough and girls aren't like paying attention entirely, like you can just create chaos, and that's what I love doing. I kind of went back and forth from running 6-2 or 5-1, just again, depending on what was going on. With the team, I just tried to do what was best, you know, for the team, and my coach was kind of in charge of that, so I just kind of did what he told me to do.
Well, if I were coach and I had a 6-2 setter, I'd be saying swing away as well.
Thanks. It was a blast.
Now you played indoor, and it actually is a good segue to my next question, but you were a Fab 50 standout in indoor volleyball. What were the key factors in you deciding to pursue the beach game, hanging up the shoes, so to speak, and rocking the bathing suit for SC? And I noticed that it showed at one point you were planning on attending Long Beach State. Could you talk a little bit about all of that?
Yeah, I'll dive into all of that. So as a freshman, I was getting recruited by a lot of colleges, already getting offered a full ride, and I was just very taken aback. I'm like, what is college and how does this all work? And I can do this professionally. I can do this forever. Like, this is what I wanted to do. But I think around that time it was becoming in my mind, like, this is a reality that can happen. Like, I can do this for the rest of my life. So as a sophomore in high school, I verbally committed to play indoor at Long Beach State.
Super excited. Brian Gimolaro years.
Brian. Yep. Brian and Matt Ulmer was there at the time. I was super excited to go there. I felt a real connection with the coaches and the school. And yeah, I was beyond stoked to have this opportunity. And my junior year of high school, they kind of pulled me aside and they were like, you should go try to play beach because by the time you're going to get here.
You said they, you said who's they? They asked you to try beach.
The Long Beach State coaches.
Oh, really?
Well, because by the time I would graduate and get into college, all of the indoor girls were going to do beach during the off season. Just as cross training, just to play, keep getting touches. They weren't planning on like having their own beach team yet. They were just having the indoor girls go to the beach. So they suggested I go try it out. And so I had a little bit of experience before college. So I'd been doing USA Indoor, kind of their pipeline high performance stuff. So I just tried out for the beach. And I made their under 19 travel team. And that's where I met Sarah Hughes. And we traveled to Porto, Portugal, I think, for the under 19 World Championships. Brought home a bronze medal. It was my first international trip. It was my first time leaving the country.
And your first medal. What a star.
Real experience for me. And my beach coach at the time, John Aharoni, kind of pulled me aside. And I think after one of our matches, it might have been pool play. And he was like, I just want you to stop and like, look where you're at right now. And I feel like you're going to have to make this decision soon of, you know, beach or indoor. And I just want you to, you know, close your eyes and imagine you're playing indoor, you're in a gym, like this is going to be your life, or open your eyes right now and see where you're at. And it just really made me start thinking about, you know, what I wanted for the rest of my life. And when I got back, a handful of college coaches started talking to me about playing beach and just beach. And that's when I decided to go to USC.
Wow, I just assume that your connection with Sarah early on was what pushed you into pursuing beach, because, you know, she played at Modern Day Indoor, and, you know, mm-hmm. I know her from the family because Connor played at UC Irvine.
Yeah, I
just assumed that it was her that had the influence, or that family had the influence on you, but it sounds like you had a bunch of external coaches that were really pushing you towards a beach game, huh?
I had a lot of really good support system, and my parents have been so helpful, you know, in that process. And I prayed a lot about it. And yeah, that's where I decided to go.
Well, it's obviously been a great choice for you, which brings us to your college years. Did you think that your decision to pursue beach only, did you ever think it would have resulted in the success you had in getting the two national championships and having the experience you had with Sarah Hughes and at USC?
Yeah, no, not at all. Oh my goodness. Yeah, the success that we have, like still looking back today, it's so gnarly to me just seeing the record that we had. I think we had 148-4 or 147-4, something crazy like that. That I don't know another team that's going to get close to beating that record. It was a really cool experience, and I'm very grateful for the experience. And it was so exciting working with so many good coaches. I think my favorite was freshman year, Misty was our volunteer assistant coach, and she was my box coach. So that was just an out of this world experience for me. I loved working with Dane Blanton and Andrew Fuller, like just the staff that we had there. Kelly Dormandy was our trainer for my junior and senior year, and just whipped us all into shape. And yeah, it was a really cool experience at SC.
So you don't plan on working on a graduate degree at USC to have one more year of eligibility with Dane?
I think I'm past my 5 years to go back and do that, but maybe I'll go back
out and some Photoshop can fix that birth certificate. Come on.
There we go. That'd be good.
So, let's take a break right there. We've talked about your college and high school career, but I want to talk about your AVP career. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kelly Clays here on the Viral Volley Podcast. Thanks for clicking in and listening in. We'll be right back in just a moment. All right, everyone, welcome back. You're watching or listening to the Viral Volley Podcast or Vodcast, and that lovely lady on the screen is not Firestorm from the comics, but instead it's Kelly Clays, pro beach volleyball player, AVP, FIVB, two-time national champion. We're going to jump into more recent stuff that she's been involved in besides winning, which would be on the AVP tour. But, you know, right out of college, you and Sarah, actually during college, you and Sarah actually played in a few AVPs. I remember the World Series of Beach Volleyball in Long Beach. I was so excited to see you guys because that was like my first international event, and that was like your guys' first international event together.
Yeah.
But what was it like coming out and playing in such a large, acclaimed event like that?
It was crazy. We felt like the little babies out on the court. We're like, are we really supposed to be here? We're surrounded by incredible women, full-grown women, and we felt like these little young bucks out on the court, like trying to play with all these professionals who do this full-time. And we're like, okay, we're trying to do this during the summer in between school. So it was a really fun experience, nerve-wracking at times, but we tried to just enjoy the process and enjoy, you know, the place we were in at the moment, and yeah, have fun along the way.
You know, one of my observations of you two, even being in such a high marquee event like that, was both of you looked totally relaxed, and you were mingling with, I want to say your fans, it was really just your friends and family that were kind of like trying to, oh, you guys are killing it, you know, but it was such a great environment, and to see you both there, you seem like naturals.
Thanks. I think playing at home, anywhere in SoCal is my favorite because family and friends get to come out, and being able to be playing and doing what I love to do and then turn around and all my support system, like being right there behind me, like gives me all the confidence in the world. I love that so many AVPs have been, you know, they're in SoCal. I love that, and hoping that there are more FIVBs in this area as the years go on.
Yeah, no kidding. Just in the United States. How about that? Let's aim for that. Well, I jumped ahead of myself. I wanted to talk about your AVP experience with Sarah, because before you and Sarah had won your first AVP in Chicago in 2017, and you took out names like Lauren Fendrick and April Ross, Summer Ross, and Brooke Sweat. And after that win, what kinds of thoughts did you have about your potential and future in the AVP?
I was on cloud nine after we had won that AVP. We'd been trying to win an AVP since we started playing in college, and we had the confidence and believed in ourselves that we could do it every single time. Like that didn't change. So potential-wise, I don't think mentally for me anything really switched. At the time, I believed that every AVP that I went to, I can win, and I believe that today. So having that experience kind of under my belt is amazing, but I've learned so much more from, you know, losses. So I think each one, you know, has pros and cons.
Hey, Kelly, can you talk about the success that you had in 2018, not with one partner, but with four partners through all the AVPs and the FIVBs that you competed in? I mean, you had great results with a second in there in both the AVP and the FIVBs, and the worst finish was like a ninth of the events you competed in. Can you come on?
Yeah. 2018 was an interesting year for me. I grew so much, and it was kind of a process of figuring out kind of what I want and need in a partnership and a team, team culture, all of kind of those little facets of what I needed. Because I had gone through college, you know, getting told you're playing with this person and this is our team culture and this is how we do things. And I think that was a really big learning year for me of figuring out, just like getting down to the nitty-gritty of things that like I need and want out of a partner. So it was a really cool experience getting to play with a lot of different people. I think I honestly might have been five, because I played I could get this wrong. I played in a King of the or Queen of the Beach series with oh my goodness.
I'm looking through it as well, but it's not listing that event.
Oh, Queen of the Beach isn't on there?
Yeah.
Oh, with Caitlin Ledoux.
Yes. Now, yeah, I remember watching that now.
Yeah, so lots of partners. So it was, yeah, again, a really big, yeah, learning year for me of kind of the style of play that I wanted to pursue, how much time on and off the court I want to, like, spend with my partner. Team goals, team values, all of those things. I feel like I kind of flushed through a lot of that, which led me to Sarah Sponsel.
Wow. Wow, that's actually a great segue, because I wanted to find out, and I wanted to find out for our listeners and viewers, how you and Sarah Sponsel ended up playing together, since she wore that, probably to you, the god-awful powder blue from that other LA campus. I know you guys are great friends, and I know it's such a great rivalry, but it just was odd that you know, you were competing against each other, pretty highly competitive in all the things that I had seen you compete, but how did you end up coming together to play as teammates?
Yeah, I think we partnered together in October of 18, so about a month before that, I was looking for a partner. Again, I had like sat down and wrote all of my like wants and needs in a partner, and had been training with a lot of different people, taking people out to lunch and talking to them, trying to figure out what's going to be the best fit. Because for me, and I know a lot of people, this is my job, and they very much have business relationships with their partners, but that's not what I wanted or what I felt like I needed. Mm-hmm. I really wanted someone who pushed me and inspired me on and off the court, and someone I could be really like grow and be friends with on and off the court. That's just something that I knew I needed personally. So with all of those things in mind, I talked to Sarah. I think we went to Brothers Burritos and had lunch.
A wonderful place, by the way.
So good. Brother, shout out to Brothers.
Exactly. Get that free burrito, that breakfast burrito, the Calavo burrito.
Breakfast burrito. So I asked her out to lunch, and we chatted, and I felt a connection very early on, and kind of our vision and goals were starting to kind of line up. I was like, okay. I was being a little hesitant because I was talking to a lot of people, I feel like. And I was like, okay, like maybe this could be something special. And then I set up a training for us to like just go out and compete together and see how it went. And I knew after that practice that this was the girl that I was gonna, I think, play with for a very, very long time.
Well, it's kind of unfair. It's almost two superstars playing together. I mean, between watching her play at UCLA, and she's a playmaker, and you just were super athletic and just had a good read on the game. It's a great fit.
And yeah, I love how gritty and creative we are together, and allow each other to be creative, like in this space. It's been super fun getting to work on new things together and just dive into like strategies together and thought process together. We watch a lot of film together and just talk through things, and that's been really, really fun for me.
Well, it seems like it, you know, not the importance of the on-court relationship was definitely a priority, but obviously the other stuff, the off-court stuff, is a big part of what makes you successful. Would you say that's an accurate statement?
I totally agree. Yeah, I think all of the fun things that we do off the court reflect on the court, as well as just like give us perspective when we're kind of struggling. We've talked a lot about, you know, when we're in a rut, like coming back to being present, as well as just being grateful, because I think gratitude protects perspective. So just the idea of kind of reminding each other, you know, where we're at, what we're getting to do, where we're getting to live, all of these things are just pretty amazing. So when we're struggling through a match, I think we've done a really good job kind of reminding each other of that to kind of keep us on track.
That's pretty amazing, because I was looking at the time that you'd been together, it was maybe a total of 15 months. Because right out of UCLA in her final season, winning the back-to-back national championship that yep. you so had previous years, you guys clicked. I was watching the Kinju event in China, and I was excited to see you both on the IBB feed. And you guys get, you know, seated second, finished third for your first international event. That is amazing. What was the key to your guys' success so early on, though?
I think at that point we were both still kind of trying to figure out each other's game style, but very much worrying about ourselves and both just being athletic and creative in our own space. And I think as we've gotten to work even more together, we've been able to really dive into each other's strengths and weaknesses and really highlight each other's strengths and really focus on those strengths and kind of hide each other's weaknesses, but the other one is hiding and protecting those things. So I think that's the really cool thing about our partnership, kind of that, you know, that ebb and flow.
Yeah. Well, it's more been the flows apparently, because in 2019, I was looking at your results, entered 15 FIVB events. You placed in the top 9th in all but 2 events, and you won the Hog. And
crazy.
All that in a shorter term relationship, because that only been months that you'd been playing together. So obviously there's a great fit between the both of you. But I'll have to ask you, in those travels, what has been your favorite FIVB event on the tour?
Ooh. Almost always that question has, or that answer has been Stad, because I love Stad, but I think we lost in the qualifier in that tournament.
I wasn't going to say anything. I was going to let you say it.
No, it's fine. It happens to the best of us, I believe. But I think we took second in Portugal, and we got to meet some really amazing people there who hosted us for a barbecue and just really made us feel like family. So that tournament last year is really special to me.
Yeah, I hear that pretty often. Stad is the place. So
so beautiful.
So, you know, obviously in the times we're in right now, and the halting of worldwide play due to the coronavirus pandemic, what have you, Sarah, and Coach, and I got to drop his name, Jordan Chang, been doing to stay in shape and focused and competition ready?
Yeah, honestly, we've taken a much needed kind of break. During the three, I think, biggest months of quarantine, Sarah went back to her parents in Phoenix, Arizona, and got to have some really amazing family time, which I'm very happy that she got to do that. And in that time, what has she been up to? She started her own TikTok, her own YouTube channel. She's finished up her website. She is going tech savvy, which I am horrible with, so I very much appreciate her for diving into those things. And she's just brainstorming the music videos that we want to do and writing a few more songs and doing all of those kind of things that we got to do together kind of during season, kind of off the court last year. Mm-hmm. And then I got to spend more time with my family too. And they're in Fullerton, so that was really nice. But yeah, staying in shape, thankfully. Well, I guess not thankfully, because the USA gym in Torrance, the beach office, was closed. My strength and conditioning coach let me take a handful of things from the gym. So I have like a full functioning at home gym, which was like the most amazing part of quarantine, because I've never lifted at like 9 p.m. before, but I got to try that out. And then I got to lift at like 7 a.m. sometimes, which I never do. So it was cool to kind of switch up my routine and try out a few different things. But other than just weightlifting, staying in shape, I got a crew together and played a little bit of grass, like 3-on-3 sort of things, and had a good time and got touches when I could. But
right.
Yeah, I think it was more much needed reflection time, reading time. I read a ton of books. Time with God. I got to dive into the Bible, how I more than I think I've ever really taken the time to do. Yeah. So it was for me, and I'm so grateful that I was able to survive through quarantine, but it was kind of a blessing in disguise, at least for me and I think our team.
Yeah. Well, it seems like for everyone, it's been a nurturing of the soul, so to speak. You know?
Yes, totally. Yeah.
Like reconnecting with certain relationships, but also internally with like refreshing, renewing, and getting a new perspective on things.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree.
So that's incredible. You got to dive into all those books. Great reads, by the way. Now this last week, the AVP made a huge announcement that it'll be having 3 consecutive weekends in the end of July. For the first ever Champions Cup series for the Monster Hydro Cup. Take me through the thoughts you have about hearing this announcement and how you feel about this competition coming up.
I am beyond excited. Oh my goodness. I've been itching to play I was like antsy to play 2 weeks before we were supposed to leave for Australia, which was, I think we were planning on March 14th. I was buying, like, ready to go and compete, and I just like had to process those emotions and figure out how to like put that energy into other places. But I'm so excited to compete and play and just get on the court and do what I love. So I'm so appreciative that the AVP is doing this, and I think it's going to be a cool setup because they're not doing it on the beach to like manage how many people come in and out, and so they can like, kind of leave that setup in Long Beach. I don't know exactly where in Long Beach they're doing it or where they're getting the sand, but I'm interested to see how it all goes down. But yeah, I'm grateful. Yeah, grateful and excited to go out and do what I love with my girl.
Now, have you had any touches with Sarah at all in the last, you know, just week? I guess that's the time that everything's been cleared, at least in LA County, I believe. But it's been so fluid, you know. I just don't even know when you're allowed to touch the ball with other people, you know?
Yeah, we've been training the last 3 weeks. HB's been open. So we've gone down there. We have a net and we've put it up in Hermosa and we haven't got taken down yet. So we've been training, asking guys to come out and play with us.
Wow. Well, it's definitely an exciting time. And, you know, I had kudos to Donald Sun and Josh Glazebrook and the AVP crew because they essentially have to part the Red Sea to make this thing happen right now because the current state of affairs, everything's so fluid right now. And especially we're seeing now a spike again.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping and praying that everything still goes through because now obviously safety for our society is the most important thing. But gosh, I like you. There's a lot of people missing volleyball.
Yeah. I think just taking extra precautions, like making sure people are wearing masks in and out, sanitizing, washing hands, like, yeah.
Yeah. Maintaining the social distance, the 6-foot rule. And yeah. So, I mean, obviously a lot of people will be online watching this event because a lot of people are excited and for lack of a better term, they miss it deeply.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the entire volleyball community misses it deeply. We're all antsy to watch and play, and we want things to go back to normal. I think everybody does.
Yeah. Well, it was a total blessing to be able to come across you this weekend at the Eric Zahn King of the Road Dogs tournament. You know, I had no idea that you know, your face is going to show up there, but there's some good play, and it was just fun to watch people connecting again. And
it was so fun just to be around beach volleyball again, be around good community. It was fun to watch everybody go out and compete when I think not everyone's gotten to practice probably as much as they wanted to, but just go out there and compete and have fun. That was just, it filled me up. It was good.
Yeah, definitely good stuff there on Second Street. And a shout out to all the crew that put that together, Travis Muerter, Katie Spieler, and Stafford Slick. And I know there are a lot of other people that put some time in there, but thanks for putting on a great event in memory of Eric Zahn.
It was awesome.
Hey, the timing of me having a discussion with you was by chance, but of course you and Sarah were named the FIVB Beach Team of the Week. And obviously you're one of the youngest teams in the world competing, but you know, you'd think that this week it'd be because of your play on the court, but it's actually because of some stuff that you guys do off the court with music videos. You talk about how this all even got started. I'm curious, like, who threw the first idea out and who started running with it?
Yeah, we're just such goofballs and play off of each other so well. So I think this just, some ideas got thrown out and then it just kind of started happening. I remember Sarah had written a few songs and I think we were in China, the tournament was over, but we still had, I think, another day before our flight went out. And I went to bed and Sarah stays up until like 4 a.m. writing another song. And I wake up in the morning, she's like already up. She's like, so I have something to show you. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how long have you been up? She's like, I hardly slept, like, let's go. But I think Sarah wrote her first one when she was still in college. I think she texted me, she's like, I'm supposed to be writing a paper right now, but I did this instead. What do you think? And I go through it and I'm like, this is straight fire. Let's run with this. So I helped her out with a few songs, but she writes most of them and then I sing them, and we've been having such a blast with it. And
I thought for sure it was you writing the songs.
Oh gosh, no, she's got it. She's got it down. I've writing a song right now that I haven't finished, but I've been doing like 100 other things and keep forgetting to work on it. But
what was that first song? Was it something that you've done the video on? Because is it Drops
in Reality?
Beach Rules.
Oh, it was Beach Rules was the first one? Oh,
yes, Beach Rules. Yeah.
Oh, classic. And then Drops in Reality was the follow-up.
It was so good.
That's going platinum.
We have 10 songs written.
And you only have 2 videos? Come on, get with it here.
we have not figured out yet how to edit or film videos yet. So the McKibben brothers were awesome and helped us out. Empu, one of the amazing videographers on the ADP, helped us out with one of them as well. So we've just been trying to, you know, work with other people's schedules and make this happen, because I mean, I am not tech savvy enough to figure out how to edit the video, but I'm hoping Sarah figures it out and then the two of us can just roll and put them all out ourselves, which would be awesome. But I don't know if that's realistic, but maybe.
Well, have you a third project in mind that you're camped on that we could see in the near future?
Oh yeah. Our next one's going to be Bye 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 by NSYNC. And we changed it to YYY.
And what volleyball technique skill is it going to involve?
No. It's a surprise.
Well, you can't get substituted in doubles, so I know it's not that.
Nope, not that.
The net serve? No. Well, it's all good stuff. And
patient.
Well, it's all great, entertaining stuff, and it definitely puts smiles and a bunch of laughs on a lot of people's faces. Because I believe it's gone, you know, definitely over 500K or 500,000 views since it.
I'm not 100% sure with. It's on my Instagram, Sarah's Instagram. We have a YouTube channel. I think Sarah threw it up on her own YouTube channel as well.
Reposted, reshared.
People have shared it. We've heard, everybody loves them. And we've been having a really fun time writing and producing and doing all that.
Now, did you ever think that you and Sarah would have an affinity for making music videos or just making music, period?
No, not at all. I grew up singing in choir and singing around the house, but my sister's a much better singer than me, and she, my whole life told me I couldn't sing. So going into college and post, like, I always told myself, like, oh, you can't sing, like, because my sister told me I can't sing. And then I sang in front of Sarah either in our room or maybe on a drive somewhere. And she's like, dude, you sound pretty good. I'm like, are you sure? And then she wrote that one. And then we wrote another one together and I sang them. And she's like, we should actually make this into something. And I'm like, okay, like I'm all in, let's do this. So yeah, I try my best. I've had pretty much no any lessons learning how to sing. It's on my to-do list to figure out.
I'm sure there's a YouTube video for that too. No. From seeing those two videos, it seems like you have more of the vocal, a majority of the vocal part of the tracks.
Sarah can't sing at all. I sing. I love her so much. She says it. I say she's a little tone deaf. She tries so hard. I love her, but she is my hype. She writes and she is my hype man during videos, and I sing.
So that explains it now. Okay.
I know. And a lot of the comments people have said, Sarah, like, why aren't you singing? And she's just like, please, people, stop asking me to sing.
It's because you are the songbird of this new generation. That's why.
Oh my God.
Well, all good stuff though. Hey, I'm with Kelly Clays. We're going to take a break right there, and we're going to ask her just a few more questions here on the Viral Volley Podcast. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Viral Volley Podcast. I'm Rob Aspero, and on screen with me is none other than Kelly Clays. You may have seen her in a few places on the beach and winning a lot of hardware and traveling the world. And most recently, Team of the Week on the FIVB due to her music videos with partner Sarah Sponsel. So if she leaves for a musical career, you know when it started. It was just this way. But we have some other questions we wanted to ask her, not as serious as the other ones in our previous segments, but hey, I wanted to ask you about some of the sponsors that you've been working with that have been supporting you through your journey, because it just seems like you were able to secure quite a few sponsors right off the bat that have been, at least they seem really good to you.
Yeah. Right now I am partnered with my biggest sponsor right now is Adidas, and I'm so appreciative for them. Just listening to my vision and like backing it 100% and not bailing during the quarantine and not playing, but they still like want to be in my corner. So I really appreciate them, and excited to rep their stuff when we make it to the Olympics. Yeah, and then I'm also sponsored by Stamina Pro, which is a they look like a normal like tape, kind of like a Kinesio tape, but they're electromagnetically charged with natural anti-inflammatories. It's kind of a mouthful, but pretty much. And the technology behind it is gnarly, and I am not smart enough to explain it, but it's all on their website. But the idea behind it and what it does, it works for 24 hours, and it's pretty much like taking Advil or another over-the-counter anti-inflammatory all day, but you're not putting any drugs in your system because, again, it's coming from natural anti-inflammatories. So like turmeric and things in that nature. So anytime I'm sore, I like using it as a recovery tool. I like to use it kind of preventatively if I know I'm going to play a lot one weekend and I know the spots in my shoulder that get tight and start to hurt, I'll put it on before I play. It's great while you're playing. Yeah, I think it's an amazing product, and I'm stoked about them backing me as well.
Well, and then website again, what was the name of the product?
A Stamina Pro. I think Stamina it's Pro. Just pro.com. Excellent. And then I actually have a local sponsor here in the South Bay.
They're my
in
Brothers Burritos.
Oh, I wish. Brothers, hit me up. I'm ready. Are you ready? It's a meal prep company in Hermosa. It's called Ready Fit Go. So they take care of all of my food anytime I'm home. So I'm really appreciative for them. And yeah, I think they're an amazing company, and they understood people were really struggling during the quarantine, and they started giving out free meals just on the street when people were driving by. So yeah, they're really cool. You should check them out. All their info's on my Instagram, so you can go check that out.
And while you're at it, what is your Instagram handle for those who aren't following you yet?
Kelly Clays 3.
Three. The magic number 3. Kelly magic Clays 3 Instagram. And you're also on Twitter too. While we're at
I'm on Twitter too. I think it's also Kelly Clays 3.
Yes, it is.
I have a website, kellyclays.us. And then Sarah and I started our own YouTube channel, but that just has our two songs that we've produced so far. And that's at Team Slays, which is our team name.
It's two songs that'll change the world. Don't it ever will. Underscore that.
And we'll just keep adding them there. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. I've had the opportunity of seeing you behind the scenes off the court, warming up and doing your thing to get prepared for matches, but you are a huge sci-fi fan, which I just dig about you. Like, in fact, at the Top Guns tournament at P1440 Huntington Beach, you were rocking a Deadpool t-shirt, which I posted on my Instagram because, like, oh, this chick is cool. She digs Deadpool.
So my bathroom is Deadpool themed. I have a Deadpool nightlight in my bathroom and artwork all over my walls.
So you didn't get the new Deadpool talking doll that just came out a few months ago then?
No, I did not.
It's not family friendly, just so you know.
Oh, but it can't be. It's Deadpool.
So how long have you been into the sci-fi stuff, and what are like your favorite, I guess, storylines, comics or characters?
Yeah, I've been into this kind of stuff since I was a kid. My parents read me Harry Potter and Narnia, and we watched Star Wars and those movies, Harry Potter and Narnia, growing up. So it was just something that was always kind of in my life. And I know a lot of people say, you know, like, that's childish or you'll grow out of it. And I just never did. I love it. And I hope that I feel like it's kind of stereotypical to judge people who like these types of things, sci-fi or, you know, video games or cartoons or anime, things in that nature, just kind of put them in a box of like, oh, they're childish, they'll grow out of it. But I've met some really amazing people in those communities. So I hope by me being so vocal about the things that I love, I can kind of inspire people to, you know, not beat around the bush about things that they like, and they go out and, you know, do what they want to do, and hopefully inspire someone else to do what they want to do too. What was the second part of your question? What's a storyline of?
Is there a particular favorite that you have? I actually have a third follow-up question, but that it's more of a
Okay. If you or any of your viewers like podcasts, my favorite podcast is actually a D&D podcast. It's called The Adventure Zone, and it's out of this world good. So if you have some free time or you're in the car, that's when I usually listen to podcasts.
So D&D is as in for Dungeons and Dragons, correct?
Yes, which I play and I love. So those are the types of, I listen to two types of podcasts. I do D&D podcasts, like Critical Role, as well as The Adventure Zone. And I listen to like Christian sermons. And that is the length of my podcast knowledge.
Hey, we're all for development, hope, and all about character building. So, hey, no problem there. Hey, so here's the funny question. So being that you have this interest, this hobby that I can totally connect to, the whole sci-fi thing, have you gone to a Comic-Con dressed up?
I have. It's called cosplaying, when you dress up like a character. And I've been doing that for a few years now. You should throw up, I don't know if you can, I think they're on my Instagram. I've dressed up as mostly redheaded characters. Misty from Pokemon. What else have I done? I just did Raven from Starfire, or from Teen Titans. My best friend was Starfire and I was Raven, and I actually wore like a short purple wig, and it was one of the coolest experiences ever. And I had like white skin. We got up at like 4 a.m. to like do all of our makeup, because my best friend and Starfire, the girl she was cosplaying, all of her skin is orange. So I'm like on one side of the mirror, like making myself white. She's making herself orange. We're like, can you get my back? Can you get my back? So yeah,
I stand at 6'2". I imagine you stuck out like a sore thumb at these conventions.
And she's 6'3", so we were just towering over everyone.
Well, let
it
me
was
ask
a real
you,
experience.
Let me ask you this. Would you ever get Sarah to join you at one?
Oh, I mean, I will try. I don't know if she'd be up for it. It would have to be a character that she knew, but she doesn't watch a lot of this kind of stuff. So step one is I have to get her to watch something that I think she could cosplay as, and then maybe I could convince her, but I don't know.
Something that's squirrel-based. It'd be totally fitting.
Squirrel-based.
You know, Sonic the Hedgehog comes real close. So that's all good stuff. I mean, by all means, I know that you guys like to have a good time. And I had Sarah on a few weeks ago, and she said, oh, I'm totally open to going. I asked her the same question. So hold her to it.
She also says she's up to play video games, but half the time she says no, but I'll get her.
Hey, this final segment are just some questions so our listeners and viewers can get the other side of Kelly Clay. It's the off-court Kelly. But
You haven't had a...
What's that?
I said, you haven't had enough of the off court, Kelly.
Well, that was more the hobby pursuit thing. So because I saw your feed, I'm like, oh, no way. And then when I was with DJ Fidel Cashflow in Vegas and Huntington, and he played some sound effects, and you looked immediately at the DJ stand.
Oh, yeah.
He saw your T-shirt and recognized that you had like a, I think it was a Super Mario Brothers character on it. Or so he started playing that sound effect for you.
Yeah, I have a few like mashup tees. So I have, do you know the painting A Starry Night?
Yes.
So I have, it's that painting on the shirt, but it's like Mario edition. So instead of like those swirly stars, like they're the Mario stars, and then there's like a silhouette of Mario. I love mashup tees.
That's good. Makes it that much more fun at the events, knowing that you got that connection there. Mm-hmm. So here are the quick ones for you. The quick questions, maybe five, well, maybe 10. We'll see. What's your go-to song before a match?
Oh gosh, I haven't been listening to a lot of music. Super Lonely. That just kind of came out. And that's actually the song that I've been, I changed the chorus to. I just have to do the rest of it. So we'll see if we turn that one into a music video later.
You let the cat out of the bag.
Dang it.
Okay, between you and Sarah, who is the most stubborn?
Oh, me.
Favorite place to be is? Fill in the blank.
Oh, favorite place to be, Stad, or Europe in general. I've never had, I don't think I've ever had a bad experience in Europe. It's a really amazing place.
What is your favorite team to play against, be it AVP or FIVB? Ooh. Or maybe a past team in college too, I'd be curious.
Ooh, in college, I loved playing against, they're not Wits anymore, but Madison and McKenna Witt from Arizona, twins, sisters. Mm-hmm. They're Thibodeau and...
I should know this too.
Oh, I should know this. I'm so sorry. Oh, no.
Everyone knows who you're talking about, though. The American twins.
Yes, they were my favorite through college to play against. That was super fun. Now, after college, I mean... a team that doesn't exist anymore, Lara and Kira. Mm. Oh my, those matches were unreal.
Didn't you play them at the World Series of Beach Volleyball in 2017 on Stadium Court? Because I think I was on mic for that one. That was my first ever one. Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've watched them for a long time. So like getting to play against them was a pretty surreal moment for me.
Nice.
Yeah.
Favorite movie?
Ooh, any of the Harry Potters.
All right. And if you could choose to be quarantined with this person for multiple months, who would that person be?
Oh my goodness. Are they an alive person?
I would hope so. Because they would get really funky after a few months.
Probably my sister. We get along pretty well. Growing up, we weren't super, super close. But through college, we got to know each other a little bit better and became pretty much best friends. So I think that'd be really fun.
Nice. So, hey, those are the quick questions, just the other side. Okay. I kind of random fired you or quick fired them at you. So, and by the way, it's Madison Willis. I had to look up because it was on the tip of my tongue too. So
sorry, Madison.
Hey, Kelly, let our listeners and viewers know how they can follow you, be in contact with you so they can support you until we fully get back into the volleyball thing.
Yeah, totally. I'm most active on Instagram. So again, at KellyClays3. DM me. I answer all my DMs. So if you have any questions or want to reach out about anything, hit me up. I love giving back. And when I have time, like I'm there. So. Yeah, there or on Twitter. I'm not super active on there, but again, KellyClays3 and then Facebook as well.
Now, you've been on a few Zoom calls with some club teams and athletes, and I imagine you're still available for that as well?
Mm-hmm. Totally, totally. DM me for anything like that, or on my website, there's a section on it to contact me about anything, so hit me up there.
And then I got to ask this question just because you're such a bright star. And I mean that in a way that's so encouraging to other people. But I mean, we're going through some unprecedented times. It's a tough time for some people. But yeah. What words of encouragement would you have for this time that we're going through?
Yeah, I think just kind of falling back on your own individual support system. I think during this time, I really figured out who those people are to me. And kind of cut away anything that I didn't feel was kind of lifting me up or really positive in my life. So I think that was really positive for me to kind of reflect on. So knowing who's in your corner 100%, and then it's a give and take. So I'm making sure I'm pouring into them, and they know they need to pour into me, and it's coming from a very loving place. And that's helped me in my toughest times is, having a support system that I know very, very well, that I love, that I support, and that do the same for me.
Great words from Kelly Clays, 2-time national champion at USC Beach, AVP and FIVB athlete superstar and Olympic hopeful 2021. That's so weird saying that.
It's so crazy. I know, I just been saying the Tokyo Olympics because it just too weird saying 2021.
Yep. Well, Kelly, thanks for joining me on the Viral Volley podcast. And I'm looking forward to catching up with you again soon, hopefully after some of the events at the Champions Cup.
Totally. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. Thanks for being on.